Last time we were discussing women and Berachas HaGomel, we mentioned that for Sephardim, women definitively say Berachas HaGomel. For Ashkenazim, there was some minhag where women didn't say Berachas HaGomel, and some Ashkenazim follow that, and other Ashkenazim do not. And what we mention is that if the Ashkenazim that say that women do say Berachas HaGomel, which seems to be, by the way, if you've ever, most communities I've been in, the woman does, you know, in front of 10 men, either at the Mechitza or someplace else, say Berachas HaGomel, seems to be a little more common today, not like the minhag that was quoted. But for those, we said that a woman could be by the Mechitza and she could say Berachas HaGomel for the 10 men, or 10 men at one place, and she says Berachas HaGomel in front of them. So that was the main idea. If people do Berachas HaGomel, if women do Berachas HaGomel, in that case, women should be doing Berachas HaGomel for in case if it was Chas V'Shalom, a recovery from a big disease, if car accidents for Ashkenazim, not for Sephardim, obviously, because we said Sephardim don't make Berachas HaGomel on car accidents. So that would be the same halacha for women as well. For those people, for the minhag, people follow the minhag that women don't say Berachas HaGomel at all. So what do they do? So we mentioned that some of them might have their husbands say it for them, but that we also said causes its own problem, but some people do rely on that, and the Mishnah Berurah says you can rely on it. But there were some other opinions. So one of the famous customs was that the woman would go to shul, and when the husband gets called up for an aliyah, and I'll explain why the aliyah is important in a second, when he says the baruchu at the beginning of the aliyah, she has in mind for the Berachas HaGomel, both of them have it in mind. She kind of says amen to the baruchu that he says. She says amen to the baruchu that he says. And that's if those people are women who don't say Berachas HaGomel. It's quoted another tshuva. I guess it was a minhag to do mariv in the house and for the woman to also answer amen, for the husband to daven and to say baruchu. Kriyas HaTorah, Berachas HaGomel is generally said for men at Kriyas HaTorah. We actually try to wait, if we can, for a Kriyas HaTorah. Man gets an aliyah. There's a famous question. Why do we do it at Kriyas HaTorah? One of the reasons is because of the fact that we needed to, we always said maybe it was 10 men and 2 Talmidei Chachamim, the Sefer Torah, the Kriyas HaTorah is in place of the Talmidei Chachamim, whatever the reason is. But that's why it would be done at Kriyas HaTorah. What else do we have? So what about a child? Can a child say Berachas HaGomel? So what would be the problem with a child saying Berachas HaGomel? Let's say a child gets into an accident, a car accident, and he's fine. What do you say, Berachas HaGomel? So what does the bracha entail? What does it actually say? The bracha says, HaGomel l'chayivim tavoshek malani kol tov, which means that you did good for people who are chayiv, for people who are chayiv and have sins and deserve to be punished, but you still did good for us, right? You still did good for us. So that's what that bracha is. Children are free of sin. So how can they say that line? She'chayavim gomel chayavim tovos. She'gomel chayavim tovos she'gamalani kol tov. How can you say that line? They don't sin. They're free of sin at that point. They're not punished for anything. So some people say that children don't say it. Other people do have children say it. The one halacha which is really, really important for everybody is when should Berachas HaGomel be said? When should it be said? So there's a debate amongst the opinions when it should be said. So one opinion is the first 3 days. It must be said within the first 3 days. And after the first 3 days, that really wouldn't work. But the first 3 days, you're supposed to get to it as quickly as possible. What about the what about later than that? So they say from 3 days to 30 days, if you can't do it in the first 3 days, you would do it in the 30 days. Okay. And then if you can't do it then, a lot of poskim are lenient to do it anytime after that as well. But there's like three different time periods. There's a discussion for men if they could hear, if they do it at a Kriyas HaTorah, which is like on Shabbos, which is a bigger deal, and it's after 3 days, is it better to do that or to do it within the 3 days? But that's the question over there. So Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, Salmas Chaim, where he had in his Tshuvos, was asked about a woman who gives birth. When is she supposed to do this? So let's talk about this for a second. If a person, let's say a person is sick and they recover. So then they say Berachas HaGomel. If there's a famous debate, if they're walking normally and everything's normal, but a few things need to be fixed, when you say Berachas HaGomel, that's a whole debate. But the question is, Berachas HaGomel is supposed to be when you recover, when you're out of danger. When is a woman in danger? So we talk about the time of childbirth. Then it's mentioned there's 3 days after childbirth is considered to be a dangerous time in terms of dealing with things on Shabbos. Then there's 7 days. Then there's 30 days. All those days could possibly be times of danger. So he felt that she doesn't have to wait 30 days because of the fact that most of the women don't end up in danger within 30 days. So there became a debate kind of from this, whether the woman who gives birth is supposed to wait 3 days or 7 days. A lot of women do Berachas HaGomel. You ever been to a bris? See a woman do Berachas HaGomel at the bris? So they do it right after the bris. They'll sit around and bring 10 men, and they'll do it right afterwards. It's after 7 days. So a lot of women do it then. Some women do it, maybe they'll do it earlier, even after the 3 days. Within the 7 days, they'll do it. Some people will do it at the Shalom Zachar. There's 10 men around. So, although that's a question of doing it at night. But that would be in terms of Berachas HaGomel, in terms of the time period. So that's kind of the idea there about Berachas HaGomel. One of the brachas we talked about before, before we go on, was if you see a king, even if it's a non-Jewish king, you say Shanasan mechachmaso livnei adam. What if you see a president? Do you make this bracha? See a prime minister? Do you say this bracha? So if you see a president or a prime minister, would you be making this bracha at all? What's the story in terms of this? So there are a lot of tshuvas written on this, Rav Avadia Yosef, Sternbach, whatever it is. And there's two issues with making a bracha on a president. So what are they? So there was a Rishon named the Eshkol. The name of his sefer was the Eshkol. And in the Eshkol, he writes, what is a king? Why is a king? Why making a bracha on a king? Because a king is so powerful that no one can override him. And therefore, if the king is in charge, he can kill people and get away with it, and nobody can say anything to him. So that's what the Eshkol says. For those of us who haven't noticed, presidents and prime ministers cannot get away with this. So therefore, there were some poskim that said, for that reason, you don't make a bracha when you see a president or a prime minister or any government leader from a democracy, because they can't get away with anything they want. They can't. It's impossible. That's one reasoning. Second reasoning is, why do we make a bracha on a king? This is a Berchas Hari'iyah. There's a famous question. Do you have to see the king or not? Let's say you walk by Buckingham Palace. Now, I want to make something clear. The royal family has almost no power. Rav Sternbach talks about, which is actually a rule, it's actually interesting. He thought that you can make a bracha on the royal family because every bill in England, I have to look this up, must be signed finally by the royal family, the head of the royal family. They wield no power. They have nothing, but he thought that was enough. But it doesn't really fit into the idea of being able to kill at will. They're not above the law. So I think a lot of poskim would say not to make a bracha on them. But what's so special? If you were to see the royal family, so why are you making a bracha? So besides the immense amount of power, many times they dress differently than us. They have big day malchus, right? They wear something special, right? So, and that's why you would make a bracha. So because of the fact that they wear something special. If we, and this is brought up by a couple of tshuvos. If you haven't noticed this, the president or the prime minister dresses like everybody else. Suit. Right. If it's a suit, if it's a female prime minister, what would it be? What do they wear? I don't know. Pantsuit. There you go. Same thing. But the same thing. Meaning it's just what everybody else wears. So there's nothing special about their dress. You don't get to see them in all their glory. So therefore, because of those two reasons, various different poskim said that you do not make a bracha when you, at least with Shem Hashem, you can maybe do without Shem Hashem, but if you see a president or a prime minister. Sarah Leah.
I have two questions. First, what if you see like a dictator like Putin, then would you make a bracha
because he's telling the world to stop it? So, famous question about the evil king. But they have, but besides that, if you had the second reason, wouldn't apply to him either. He dresses no different than the president dresses.
But also,
than average person.
The royal family also dresses everyone else. Like, they just wear, like, so.
I guess so, yeah. I guess not in this world, in a perfect world. If you have somebody who has, you know, immense power and they dress a certain different way, then that would definitively be something you can make a bracha on, but the question is what you do in terms of that. Lana.
So for using that logic, shouldn't they have made a bracha when Mordechai was being like
yeah, but Mordechai has no power at all.
But the clothes, he was definitively.
They probably thought he was the king, right? Yeah. No, but he's yelling, this is the person who the king wants to honor.
Because like it's the clothes. He's wearing the clothes of the king. So would that warrant on his bracha?
Yeah, but it has to have both factors, meaning you have to have the power to, you got to have some power. You got to wield some power. The question brought up, Rav Avadia Yosef brings up, the halacha is, if somebody tells a blind person that a king is walking by, they can make the bracha. So he says a blind person can't see the great, wonderful clothing of the king. So how is he able to make the bracha? So the answer is it's a little bit different. Because since other people can explain the splendor of the king, and the king is right there, so that's not as much of an issue. So, but you still would need, to make a bracha on that person. Okay. So, girls, we're going to stop here for today, and next time we're going to go on to Shechianu. Okay.
Rabbi, this woman can be lying.
What?